Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Joel Block. The polar regions are the first to feel the heat from global warming. In the Arctic's northern Bering Sea, there's been a significant reduction in ice, and the effects are reverberating through the ecosystem. Scientists are seeing creatures from clams to gray whales escape the warming waters by moving north. Earth and Sky's Lindsay Patterson spoke with Jackie Grebmeier, a professor of biochemistry and ecology at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. She's been studying the northern Bering Sea for 20 years and says what's now underway is a complete shift in Arctic zones. Here's Lindsay Patterson with Jackie Grebmeier.
Can you just explain what's going on and what changes and shifts are happening and why?
Just a little to set the background up there. It's south of St. Lawrence Island. There's a cold pool that forms by the ice that's produced over the wintertime. And what that does is it makes it below freezing in the water column. And then when the sun comes back out in the spring, it makes a thermocline and it caps off basically this cold water where a lot of these clams are living on the bottom of the ocean, and they're happy with that. And a lot of the organic carbon, you know, the phytoplankton production that's produced in the spring, is settled down, and it feeds this big clam population, which we found out in about 1997 was a major feeding area for these diving sea ducks called spectacle eiders. Since about the late 1990s, we've been seeing a reduction in the biomass of these clams. We've also seen a changing species composition and at the same time a decline in the populations of these ducks that are now threatened. So this area is extremely productive. It's an overwintering for the U.S. and Russia world population of these eiders. And they come and live in the open and feed in the open leads of the ice. And so they're there because there's openings in the ice and they're there to feed off of the clams on the bottom. But we're starting to see reduction in the amount of organic matter and therefore the food for the clams and the amount of carbon that's actually reaching down to the bottom. So at the same time we were seeing this in the biology, the local community of the hunters on St. Lawrence Island, there's been a reduction in the amount of ice up there too. So it's become more unpredictable for their hunting capabilities. It's different for them, but the ice conditions have reduced. What we're seeing from our studies is the temperature when it goes above freezing, when the ice starts to melt, is actually a little bit earlier, up to 3 weeks earlier in the spring now than it used to be even 10 years ago. What that means is the ice is starting to melt earlier, and it looks like it's coming back later in the fall, and that changes the overall productive cycle that goes on in that region.
And how does that affect the biology?
The timing of the production is important because the animals are such that when you have primary production at a certain time of the year, the animals are set to be there. For example, if you produce organic matter or phytoplankton, let's say at a certain time, what's in the past is the zooplankton aren't there yet. They're not up on the shelf. So a lot of that organic matter, it's very rich in lipids, goes right down to the bottom. It's a very shallow system. It's only 30 to 50 meters, which is at the maximum 150 feet. These birds are diving down to feed on that population of clams. Well, if there's a change in the timing of the production, you get more coupling, what we call with the zooplankton, less food actually gets down to the sediment. So that changes the timing of the production, what we call the net export of that carbon to the sediment, so that the animals on the bottom, which normally feed these eiders and which also feed the walruses and the bearded seals that are all common up there, it's not as much. So what happens is that the prey source is reduced and the quality of the organic carbon is less.
So what happens to the animals that are in the food chain?
The clam populations, what we're seeing is a reduction in the population. So what happens is the food supply is less. There's been a change in the type of species of clams up there. So there's two major dominant clams up there that the birds feed on. And one of them has thin shells, it's called Macoma, and has more meat to it. And the other clams that are coming in are thicker shells and less meat. So basically the birds are getting less bang for the buck. When they have to dive, they have to expend so much energy, but what they're bringing back as their net carbon is less. So it's having an impact, we think, on why there's a continual decline on these clams. The other thing that we're seeing up there is both the atmosphere and the water are warmer overall in the trends, so that their ice production is less. But it's not just these birds in the south of the island. North of the island is normally a feeding area for gray whales. and they normally transit up from Baja to feed on the rich animals that are in the sediment, particularly amphipods, which are like small shrimp, but they live in the sediments up there. Those populations are also apparently in decline, and so there is a movement of these gray whales further north because there's less ice, and so they're actually going as far north now as up to Barrow, Alaska, and they're staying longer. It is a little bit uncertain what they're feeding on up there because there hasn't been that many studies up on the nearshore part of the coast up there. But the gray whales are changing their migration patterns. They're still a healthy population, except some of those gray whales are not migrating back to Baja on a regular basis now. Some of them, we found them overwintering and feeding around Kodiak. So we're seeing the eider populations being impacted by a decline in these clams. We're seeing a decline in the prey of these amphipods for the gray whales, and the gray whales are moving northward, and that puts them further in an area that normally there's just usually bowheads and other animals. And you have to think about this as in the big picture, you also have walrus always feeding there. So there's a lot of these animals that feed off the animals in the sediments, what we call benthic feeding higher trophics, like walrus, bearded seals. So now you have an expansion of some of the range and more animals in the same area than they would normally be.
What's the effect of the crowding?
Well, what it is that these animals feed on the continental shelf, and climate warming may pull the ice back. You don't change the width of the shelf. So these animals are limited by spatially where they can feed. So as they move northward, past Barrow, basically the bottom of the shelf goes down to a slope down to 4,500 meters in the deep Arctic. So they're depth limited in where they can feed. So in a sense, when they can move north, but they are limited by finding areas that they could forage, and they're limited by the depth in which they could forage.
Do you expect these trends of the ecosystem shifting up to the north to increase?
What we've got from the data sets we've been doing over the last 20 years, we have these time series sites in the northern Bering, both south and north of the island and north of Bering Strait. And in the late 90s and early 2000s, we've had about a half of the amount, so that the amount of carbon is nearly 50% less that the animals are seeing in the standing stocks. But then we're starting to see basically a flattening out, because a certain level of which the ecosystem can maintain. I think what we are seeing is the beginnings of a movement of what we call the front between the subarctic and the Arctic, and it basically keeps some of the bottom-feeding fish that are in the southern Bering Sea south. Because of the cold water, they're not as viable for reproduction. And by not coming north, then they're not feeding on certain animals that would, like midwater fish and bottom-water fish, that will make more competition and basically drive the system from being a benthic, which it is dominated in the northern Bering and Chukchi, to what we call pelagic, which is instead of having animals in the sediments, you tend to have more zooplankton and fish in the water column. And so as this is moving north, we see an erosion of this coal pool that basically keeps those competitors out. And with that, the ultimate shift will be more of a water column-based, zooplankton-based system, and less for the animals in the sediments, the clams and the shrimp. These are directly tied into big benthic animals like walrus, these bearded seals, and gray whales. So those rich communities, I think, are going to be declining even more. And that means there's a potential change for those, or limitation for food for those big animals. I think that's where the system is going. To give you an exact time, I can't say that right now, except that I think what a time series does is it lets you track these things. I think in some of those areas, those key areas, that's about the only way we're going to see the difference between natural variability and impacts of this continued warming.
That was scientist Jackie Grebmeyer speaking with Lindsay Patterson. This has been an Earth and Sky presentation.
We're at earthsky.org.